The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him, the word that I spoke. It will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a shame they couldn't have added two little lines to this Gospel here. Because if they just included the two lines that precede the selection that you've just heard, it would frame everything that Jesus just said, and it would make a lot more sense. Okay, so let me share with you those two little lines that preceded what you just heard. Jesus was talking with synagogue officials who have come to believe in him, but they were afraid to acknowledge it. They're afraid of what the Pharisees are going to think. They're afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue, and as St. John says in his gospel, they preferred the praise of man to the praise of God. And that's when Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes in the one who sent me. Whoever believes in me does not remain in darkness." Now, St. John wrote these words to a church in persecution, a church that was intimidated and afraid. And John says to them through this passage, don't be. And he speaks to us just as much as he speaks to them. Because don't we live in a world in which we're intimidated and afraid to let the light shine? Gospel is not fashionable, and I doubt that it'll suddenly become fashionable anytime soon. And so we're just like these people. We're afraid, you know, we want to prefer the praise of man to the praise of God. And just a little word of encouragement there today. Two things to keep in mind, all right? You want to overcome intimidation and you want to try to share the light. Number one, understand it's not you, but Christ who you proclaim. We're not proclaiming a political party platform. We're not proclaiming personal opinions. We're not proclaiming a philosophy. It's really very simple. It's Jesus Christ who we proclaim. Okay, now number two, remember this. The gospel itself has power. Did you know that? St. Paul says that it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. And the Greek word for power is dynamos, which is the root word for dynamite, right? The gospel itself is what goes kaboom. That's the power. You don't have to be a good speaker to share the gospel. You don't have to be an extrovert to share the gospel. You don't even have to be having a good day. All you have to do is be faithful to the message. Okay, so I'd like to share with you something today that I hope you find helpful. Have you ever been in a discussion with somebody who's struggling? Maybe they're struggling, maybe they're suffering, maybe they just flat out don't believe. And you want to share the gospel, but you don't know how. Well, there's three questions that you can ask that I think do a fantastic job of summarizing the message of the gospel and letting you be faithful. Three questions. Number one, why is there something rather than nothing? Number two, why is the world so messed up? And number three, what's God doing about it? You can ask any one of those questions in any order, but when you engage someone with those three questions, you are actually sharing the core of our creed. That's the message of the gospel. Real briefly now, why is there something rather than nothing? You can talk about the fact that, you know, we don't believe in a force Or a God who made the world like a clockmaker and sets back and watches it tick? But that you were designed and created and born for this time and for these circumstances and for just what you're suffering through and just what you're living through? Because God's providence is beyond anything you can imagine. I think I've shared this image with you before, just as a way of understanding God's providence. You think about the sheer astronomical improbability of your own existence. You think about your parents and their parents, and you go back generation on generation, and you think, you know, if any one of those people back along my history had died as a child, or been killed in a war, or married somebody else, or just decided not to be married, or anything at all, you would not exist. Which leaves you with a decision to make. Either God is provident in your life beyond anything you've ever imagined before, or you're just a great big cosmic accident. Which one do you want to believe in? Do you want to believe in hope, or do you want to believe in despair? Personally, I choose hope, and I think it's a much more attractive option. Why is there something rather than nothing? That's the first question, to share the gospel with people. Second question, why is the world so messed up? Or more specifically, why do I suffer? Why, if God loves me, did my child die? Why, if God loves me, did my parents get divorced? Or why did my father abandon me? Or why do I have this disability? Or whatever it might be. Why is the world so messed up? And there's where we talk about the destructive power of sin and our need to turn away from it and how it always hurts. And it's not God's fault. But we have a responsibility to hear God's commandment. That's why Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And thirdly, what's God doing about it? And here's where we can talk about the cross. And we can talk about God sharing his love and his grace, and the only thing that he asks you to do is just be his cooperator. That's all he asks. You know those three little questions? Why is there something rather than nothing? Why is the world so messed up? What's God doing about it? If you can find a way to just share those questions with people, I really think you make great inroads into realizing that all you have to do is share the message of the gospel, and it has all the power. Okay, so brief little message for you here this morning. Let Jesus encourage you the way he encouraged his followers to share the light and to spread the word and to feel the power. And let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that today. Saint Isidore, pray for us.